So, let's jump into the Word a little bit. And we also have some baptisms today, so that's always a phenomenal thing. Yeah. So we're going to continue going back to the tomb today for a moment, because what happened with Jesus' resurrection changed everything. It changed the lives of the disciples. Now what are they going to do? These guys had just come from seeing, and the ladies, from seeing Jesus die, and the despair and the disillusionment, and, you know, where do we go from here? And the fear that they may be losing their lives. And then Sunday comes along and they see Jesus resurrected. And now what does that look like? How does this work? Is he staying? And he's telling them he's going to be going over time and not be with them. Well, what does that look like? What are we supposed to do? So Jesus knows where we are in our growth cycle. And this is the thing that we're going to emphasize today, is everybody's in a growth cycle. You are growing till you leave this planet. And so the disciples were growing too. They had walked with Jesus, especially the apostles, for a little over 2.5 years. And they did some things. They performed some miracles. They actually went on 2 little adventures and practiced their faith in uncomfortable circumstances. But they still had a lot of growing to do. So when Jesus rose from the dead, Matthew tells us at a little bit different angle. Every gospel talks about the resurrection, but speaks at it from a little bit different angle. And Matthew tells us this was taking place. In Matthew 28:5, it says, then the angel spoke to the women. So they're at the tomb. The ladies are there to anoint Jesus, and the angel speaks to them. The other gospels say a couple different words that the angel says, but this particular angel says this. He says, don't be afraid. So that obviously tells you they're afraid. He said, I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now, so they actually come, and then he tells them, and now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. So he tells them, listen, the Lord is going to meet you in Galilee. They're in Jerusalem right now. They're about 10 miles, 12 miles away from Galilee. And he tells them, this angel says, go to Galilee and you're going to meet Jesus there. And then we have this other, as the encounter continues, he says, you will see him there and remember what I told you. Remember that I told you this. And he says, the women ran quickly from the tomb and they were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. They didn't know how to interpret all that's going on. They went from all that disillusionment, despair, expectations crushed. Anybody ever have any expectations crushed in walking with God? Anybody ever have any ideas how God should do things and then he just kind of doesn't do them that way? And he doesn't even say sorry. He just calls the shots. And it says, they were frightened and also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him and grasped his feet. So they know who he is. They're holding on to him. He's resurrected. He has a physical body. And they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there. So Jesus gives them the same information. Tell them to go to Galilee. Then he tells them where in Galilee he's going to meet them. In verse 16 it says, then the 11 disciples, so those are the apostles, left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Oh, they're going to a particular mountain in Galilee, northern Israel. When they saw him, they worshiped him, and some of them doubted. Why did he tell them to go to a mountain in Galilee? And the reason is he needed to recommission them. They all had deserted him. They all had lost their call. They all had thought it all changed. And then he appears and he tells them to go to the place I called you. You know, his calls are without repentance. Jesus knew what they would do. He knew they were 2.5, 3 years into their journey with him. He knew the faith level they had at that point in time. He knew they needed to grow far more to accomplish what he wanted for them. And that's why it says some of them doubted. They didn't doubt who Jesus was. They're seeing him. They're talking to him. They doubted, could they do what he's going to tell them? Anybody ever felt God telling you something and you doubt it right off the bat? That's how it is. How many have been walking with the Lord and, you know, you took steps and got through doubt, and then you get to a particular place in your walk and there's something else God's doing, some change or some different direction or something, and you doubt, can I do this? How many have been married in here, super excited about married, till you got married? Then you start doubting, can I do this with this person? Can I walk this out? How does this look? How does it go? Oh, God, help me. Well, that's what those guys were saying. They had already failed miserably. They ran away from Jesus in his time. They did not have the strength to stand. They didn't have his back. And in fact, the only one that thought he did have Jesus' back, in fact, he says, if they all desert you, I ain't the one to desert you. He's the one that, I don't even know the guy. Never seen him before in my life. Denies him 3 times. Now they're coming together and Jesus is going to lay out their mission. They need to be recommissioned, and then they're being told a mission. And there's 2 different things. There's the call and there's the mission. Everyone in here has a mission. Part of that mission is what you're in right now. That's mission 1. Handle that. Whatever that is, handle it. And then there's the mission where sometimes God changes things up and things move and things change and we go a little bit different direction. We didn't even know that was going to happen, but those things happen. So, their lives were shattered. Their mission had been aborted, and now it's reestablished, and they're not sure what to do. And then Jesus tells them this in that same chapter. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. I'm in charge. I was in charge on the earth. You walked with me. You saw my rule. Where I am going now, I am going to sit on a throne in heaven, and I will rule everything. I have authority. Oftentimes when I'm dealing with people in particular, especially spiritual stuff, it's like you have authority in Christ. You have to exercise that authority. We don't need to be afraid of the spiritual because we have connections in the spiritual. You know, I remember, we have a lawyer. I remember when I got busted a long time ago, had to go to court, and my lawyer came in, and it was Christmas time, and he had a Santa Claus hat on, but he also had another one next to him. And I'm sitting there, you know, waiting my turn, and he goes walking up to the judge, and he puts the hat on him, and they're talking back and forth. And you know what I felt? Comfortable. I felt like, oh, this is looking good. They're buddies. You know, they know each other. That's what we have in the legal authority realm with Jesus. He is in charge. And we are connected to him. We have authority. So Jesus is telling these guys, hey, relax. It's my authority. And he goes on to say there, then he gives them their mission. Therefore, he says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, because of my position, Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. First thing he tells them is it's a threefold commission he's given them. The first one is go among the nations, among the people groups. Get comfortable, as one of the guys said on the short film we just watched. Be comfortable being uncomfortable. Be comfortable around people that aren't necessarily look like you, act like you, talk like you. You have to go. Some of them are doubting. Ooh, that's weird. And then he says this. He says, make disciples, train them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's telling them to baptize them. So once you become, and we're sharing this with some of the people getting baptized today, once you become a child of God, you are brought into the family of God. You are always a child of God. That's our security. When you get dirty, because that's what sin does, it dirties us. Think of it in the natural, like a little kid, one of my kids, they're always my kids, but they go out and they get dirty. What do? We bring them in and we wash the dirt off them. They're still my child. They don't become not my child just because I can't see their face through the dirt. They're still my child. And so that's what God does to us. Baptism, one of the aspects of baptism is that remembrance that when I get dirty, I run to God to get cleaned up. He cleans me. He helps me. He's not against me. Kill that thought, if you have it, that I got to clean myself up and then come to God. Could you imagine a 2-year-old that just poops in their diaper thinking, I got to clean up myself before I get to mom and dad. I got to figure out how to clean up myself. Then I'll go to them and then they can take care of me. It's not how it works in the natural. It's not how it works in the supernatural. So he says, baptize them, reminding them when they go under the water, their old life is dead. I will never shame them for it. If you're sitting here today and you carry shame about things you've done in the past, that is not a God thing. That thing's dead to God. It's dead to him. He will never bring it up to you. He will never condemn. You might need to process through some stuff. But it is dead to God. It's not an issue. And so when you come out of the water, you come out clean. And in the spiritual realm, the Bible tells us our spirits are clean. It's like you get your garment. You get your white garment. And you get to wear that. Spiritually speaking, if you belong to the Lord, you are cleansed. You are in good shape. Now, we're still here, so we're still walking out life, but that's where we get dirty sometimes. He says, and disciple them, baptize them, and then the third part, he says, teach them. Teach them how to live. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Also, the Holy Spirit gives you a power in baptism. Anytime you obey God, there is something that takes place, an anointing, a power that starts to touch your life in ways it didn't before the baptism. And then he says the third thing, teach these new disciples. Teach them to obey all the commands I've given you. I tell people all the time, preach what you live. Because that resonates. Don't be preaching people a bunch of stuff that you never even do. How many like those kind of people? Where they tell you what to do, but they ain't doing it themselves. Preach what you have learned. And that's a progression. The disciples at this point in time have walked with Jesus almost 3 years. They knew some stuff, and they could teach that, but they didn't know a whole bunch of stuff they would learn over the course of their lives, however long it was. It's the same thing with us. He says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I will never leave you. When you fail, I ain't leaving you. Look at, you're up at the hill with me. I didn't leave you. When you succeed, I'm with you. When you're in doubt, I'm with you. You go down to the depths of the pit, as King David said, if you go down to the depths of the pit, I'm with you. I'm always with you. I'm for you, not against you. And so he gave them this command, these commands. And they're important commands. And that's what the church has been doing for thousands of years since the time of Jesus. Sometimes better than other times. John writes in his letter, you know, John wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He wrote the book of Revelation at the end of his life. John, about 35, 38 years, maybe even 40 years into Jesus. So he's been walking for a long time with the Lord. He writes a letter to the churches in general, mainly the seven churches up in the where he writes to in Revelation. He writes to them the process of growth. He has learned that we grow in three stages. And so he's writing to them, and he says this in verse 12 of 1 John chapter 2. He says, I am writing to you, dear children. He tells us the reason he's writing this letter. I'm writing this letter to you, dear children. And he goes on to talk about that. So the first thing he says is, you're dear children. And he says, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers. So he starts with children, and then he jumps to the other end of the spectrum. Fathers, same thing as mothers. It's not limited to sex. It's limited to condition of the human being. I write to the youngest, the dear children. I write to the fathers, the other end of the spectrum, or mothers. He says, I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And I'm writing to the young ones, the young adults in God, young men and women. So he's naming children, young adults in the Lord, and fathers and mothers, long-term followers. He says, I write to you, young men. Oh, he says, wait a minute, let me read 14 again. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers. Did I skip a verse? Let's go back to 13. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning, and I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Oh, you've gained strength. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father, and I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong, or young ladies, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. There are three groups, as I just shared, and I want to break them down for us, because everybody in here is in one of those groups. You know, we may be leaving one and entering the other, but we're in that situation, and it's good for us to know that. John, remember, at the time of Jesus's death and resurrection, he's 3.5 years in. At the time he writes this, he's 38 years walking with Jesus, and he's learned the processes that takes place. I was sharing with someone the other day that God has different ways of doing miracles, and there's generally two ways. One's events, boom, you're healed. And then there's the second event, process. Every miracle that is done in the Gospels, from, you know, the guy that was at the Pool of Siloam where he was 38 years a cripple. Jesus comes and heals him. That's a beautiful thing. His life just got very complicated, though. Now he has to learn, well, I got to get a job. What am I going to do now? Hey, I can meet a chick. Hey, what's my world going to look like now? Things are changing. That's complicating his life. How many know that children are wonderful? How many know that when you had a child, it complicated your life? It's a difficult situation. How many know that getting married? How many have gone to a job and thought this was your dream job? Yeah, it was a nice thing, and then 3 months later, it's like, you know what? I think I'm cursed. They put me in this place. You know, we change. Things change. How many looked at, I just married Mr. Right. Wouldn't be too long. It's all wrong. Made a huge mistake. Then we navigate those things. Why? Because we have to grow. We have to grow. So John tells us the first stage we all are in when we come to know the Lord is dear children. You are dear to God and you are his child. He says in verse 12, I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. What you know is that my sins are forgiven. I don't know much about this walk. How many, anybody in here got born again and you don't really know much about how it works? But you got born again. You don't know. First thing he says you know is you're excited that your sins are forgiven. Just like a little kid. They know a little bit. Now on the negative of that, what do little children, what's the little children's negative side? Well, everything's about them. Everything's about them. Their world revolves around them and they expect your world to revolve around them. And they go, you know, what's a baby do? I know some of you guys have had infants and stuff. That baby, when it's hungry, what's it do? It kind of whines a little, kind of, you know, lets you know that, hey, I'm not feeling it right now. I'm feeling something. And then what? If you don't get there within, I don't know, how much time does it give you? How much time does that kid give you? A minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes? It starts escalating. Escalating. And then what's a good parent do? Good parent runs to meet the child. That's what God does for his little kids. They don't know the ways of God. They're going through that baby time. That's why I always have new believers pray for me. It's like, you're a new believer? Come here. Pray about this. Why? Because God answers their prayers quick. Just like the baby crying for food or has got a poopy diaper. They want help now, and a good parent gets it. That's the way God is. He's building that baby's faith. I'm here for you. I'm going to help you. Miracles happen quicker. You get older, and it's like, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? And he says this in verse 14 about that. He says, I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. You know where you belong. You know your family. What's a little child? Little child, when they see any group of people, they all of a sudden just say, cling to mom and dad right here. They're looking around. They know who the parent is. You know, and I'm talking ideal parents. They know who the parent is. The child doesn't know the father or the mother. The child just knows who they are. The child knows where they belong. And they hold on to that. And so that every child of God goes through that stage. That's how you start to grow. And so then he takes it to the next step and he jumps to the other end of the spectrum and he writes in verse 13, I am writing to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. He repeats that twice in that passage. You know the Father. You've journeyed long with the Father. You know, you've learned his ways and how he does stuff. You know the Father. You've been through enough experiences that you don't know everything about the way God does stuff, but you have a handle on what it's like. It's almost like when you live with someone for a long time, like in my case, I've lived with Teresa 44 years, I think. And in that 44 years, what I have learned is I don't even need to finish sentences. She does it for me. She knows me so well that she can respond to things. She knows kind of how I think. She can pick up my moods like that. And I can pick up her moods from another room. Anyhow. You've been on the journey a long time, you know each other. And so that, he says, Fathers have that. Mothers have that. They're long in the faith. They get how things work. And so they are the ones, that's why Scripture tells us the older men help the younger ones. Your experience. So, you know, you can be 60 years old and still be only 2 years in the Lord. And so, spiritually speaking, we need people, children that we can play. Kids need kids. Kids need peers. They need people they can play with. And there's also, we need people in our lives that can help us navigate things. Because you know what? How many of you parents know that your kids think, we save our kids all the time? It wasn't long ago, our 12-year-old has got a boogie board. We got a pool in the backyard. So he sets the boogie board in the pool, right at the edge of the pool. And he gets a skateboard. And he puts it on top of the boogie board. Because he's going to run and hit the skateboard and go across the pool. I saved his life. I literally saved the kid's life. It's like, dude, what are you doing? He thought it was a good idea because he's a kid. Me being that old guy going, you're going to crack your head right here. Then you're going to go under and I'm going to have to clean up all the blood in the pool. Anyway, I saved his life. It was a good thing. Yeah, that's the part I want to focus on. But that's the way it is in walking with the Lord. You need fathers in your life. You need kids. And then he goes to the middle part. And he says, young men, young women. Look at it age-wise. 30-year-olds. You know, they've gone past teen, but they're into the young men, young woman stage. He says this about them. He says, I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you in verse 14, young men, because you are strong, O young ladies, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. He gave a couple ideas here about what it is in that middle age of walking with God. He says, you are strong and you have overcome the evil one twice. And he says, you have eaten the word to where it is now part of the way you do life. And you have learned to use the word to battle the enemy. Well, how do we battle the enemy? Mainly in our thought life. When you have these thoughts, you now have gotten strong. You've gotten resources on how to level out, balance out your thinking to where you have something to battle condemning thoughts, judgmental thoughts, all the, you know, the thoughts that no one knows about, but you know about. Your insecurities, your fears. Doesn't mean they're gone forever. You've just gotten strong in being able to deal with them. You're getting more victories than defeats. And your strength in that is enabling you to move forward. So let's use the example of the apostles on that mountain in Galilee after walking with the Lord 3 years. They still weren't strong in their faith. They still had a lot of growing. They had to learn to be able to stand against opposition, not only in the world, not only in the spiritual world, but in their inner selves. The word had to get in them. It had to be able to come against other things that fight for position in our lives. And it's not always external sins. It's the internal battles that we've lost. How many of us have stopped ourselves from moving forward because we get afraid? We doubt. Remember the disciples said, some of them believed and some of them doubted they could go forth. They didn't know, I can't do it. How many of us have talked ourselves out of something even though it was a great idea? Yeah, I didn't either. But two people raised their hand. That's because the rest of you are thinking about lunch. Yeah? So, now you're thinking about lunch. I messed up. So he says this, listen, this is the way we grow. So look at your lives, and this is the crazy part. I can be mature in some areas and can be immature in another. I had somebody ask me the other night, for the first time they heard our story. And I'm eating dinner with the guy, and he goes, man, I just got to ask you. And I was there to help him navigate some things in his life. And he goes, I just got to ask you, man, how did you do it? How did you stay, you know, in it when these things happened and stuff? And I said, bro, it is not because all of a sudden I got a bucket load of faith. I said, I've been filling that bucket for 40 years. I was here in steps of faith all along the way have enabled me to bear what I must bear at this part of the journey. What I need to learn about the mission, because we're all on mission for the kingdom, is I got to handle wherever I'm at in that journey. This is everything I need to handle. I don't have to worry about any of that. That's all in the future to me. The past is under the blood, and if I got to deal with things from the past, then I got to deal with them. But I need to be able to handle the mission at hand. If I can't handle this, if I'm blowing out at this mission, I will never have the strength to handle this part when I get there. And that's the beauty of God. There's never condemnation. He didn't condemn the guys for deserting him 3 years into their journey with them. He took them to the place where he said, your call is still in effect. Nothing's changed. This is a good thing. Know that there is greater authority that you never tapped into. There is greater power. You scattered, but you need to just grow. You need to grow. Come with me. Tell them twice. The angel says, don't forget what I told you. Tell the guys to go up to the mountain. And then the Lord says, hey, don't forget. Tell them to go up to the mountain. I'm going to meet them there. That was a step of faith. That's how we grow. So it's a beautiful thing for us to know that. And then Jesus finishes up that whole aspect saying, you will begin to be able to overcome, or John says it, overcome the enemy. The enemy is always there to discourage, always there to say what's going on and to take away courage. You know who you need in your life? You need people. I need people in my life that give me courage. How do you give someone courage? You tell them they can. I believe in you. You know, they did studies that if you have one teacher, when you're going to school, that was an encourager to you, your chances of succeeding scholastically go up like 300%. When somebody says, I believe you can do this, you can accomplish this. I remember my fifth grade teacher, Sister Mary Joan, went to Catholic school. Sister Mary Joan encouraged me. And I had another teacher, I still remember Mrs. Adams. I wanted to marry her. But I was in third grade, so it was some stuff to go on. But I even asked her to marry me. I said, anybody else do stuff like that? I asked this one. But why would I ask her that? What was going on in this little kid's head? This lady was kind to me. She showed interest in me. She helped me. And the only thing I could think of is I want to marry her. And then Sister Mary Joan, she was a nun, so that's out of the car. But she encouraged me that I could be somebody. And even though I went totally sideways, I'll never forget those two teachers. And sadly, I run across people on a regular basis that can't recall one person that spoke life over them. Jesus always speaks life over us. He might need to discipline us or trans, but he always speaks life over us. He spoke life over those disciples. Speak life into people. Give hope. Because everyone in here is a miracle. You're all miracles. Nobody has your fingerprint. Nobody has made, God made you specifically the way you are. You're not a shameful person to God. He's not ashamed of one person in here. He calls you beloved. He calls you his. He exchanged his life. You know, being an adult, you know, one of the things of being a father is a protector. You know, the boys we have, they've been traumatized. And so the littlest one has asked me numerous times. He comes into my room. I got one of those little bats under my bed. And he goes, the first time he ever said, I said, Papa, what's that for? And I said, in case a bad guy comes in here. I says, my job's to protect you. That's part of the job of a father, is to protect the family. I said, he goes, you mean if someone comes in here, you'll protect us? I said, absolutely I will. Because the dogs ain't going to do nothing. They're pretty much useless. But I said, yeah, I will protect you. Yeah, I will, you know. What if they start coming up? He starts giving me all the scenarios. What if they start coming upstairs? I go, well, they ain't going to get far, you know. We have to be dangerous for the kingdom, too. I have to be bold enough. I have to be, and I've never met one woman that loves a man that's weak. We want a man that's strong, that a man that takes his place as the lead and will be that guy. That's strength under control. Jesus saw that in the disciples. He didn't pick them because they were religious. Not one of them was in the ministry. He picked them because he knew inside them they were men. They were real deals. They just didn't know how to do it yet. And I'll tell you what, that's what makes this church special, because we get to see guys grow and become real men. And we get to see ladies grow and become real ladies in the kingdom. And ladies that make a difference, and men that make a difference. And men that can be strong yet under control, and can love and can be also nurturing but yet also strong. But nobody starts, we all start out as little children in the kingdom. And the beauty of God is that no matter what age you come to him, if you got whatever lacks you have, he will start to work in us to draw us into strong young men and women in God. I'm not talking age-wise in the natural, I'm talking in the kingdom. And then he will develop us over time into fathers and mothers of the faith who can help many people because we have great experience. And so that's the way it operates. It operated with God's kids. You see it all through Scripture. It operates in the natural now. It's the same thing. And never in any of that is there condemnation that God gives his kids. He's a builder. He's a builder. And that's what takes us to baptism today. Because when somebody gets baptized, and that's what he told them in 28:18. It says, Jesus, after he said, I've given you all authority in heaven and earth, verse 18. He says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Help them. Immerse them into me. And I will empower them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I will give them giftings. So if you haven't been baptized, we have one in August. I mean, you can do it today if you want to. But, you know, if you have been baptized, this is a reminder of what happened to you. And not only are you in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Spirit is with you, then you will also go to another level of growth. It's stepping stone to another level. And don't forget that when you get dirty, because we will run to God to get cleaned, just like a child. Even though we go through those stages, we're always a child of God. I was talking with someone the other day, and I was asking, what's your core identity? And he said, well, you know, I said, no, what's the one thing that you really are about without any other thing? And he goes, well, I know I'm a child of God. And just the way he said it, I said, you don't believe that at all, do you? And this is a guy that's been in church quite a while. He says, what do you mean? I said, you said it with no authority, like that's really your position. You were saying it like intellectually assent that I'm a child of God, but that means nothing. It's like, dude, you're a child of God. You need to reflect on that a little bit. You know how powerful that is? You've been chosen to be in God's family. You win. You won the lotto, the incredible heaven lotto. You won it all. You win. Dude, think about that. And so we prayed and he was thinking about it. And I said, you need to get that word of God. See, you're still a baby. I know the Father. I know I'm forgiven. But you need to get to that young man stage where you've eaten that word of God and it's become you. I'm a child of God. I've dealt with the demonic before. Oh, you don't have nothing here. I tell you, I remember after Sarah died, and I shared this with that guy. I said, after Sarah was murdered, about 4 days later, I heard this voice that said, you had enough? And I knew it was the enemy. And I said, I'm not going to say the word here, but it starts with an F and it ends with a U. Two words. And I said, you ain't got nothing. Are you kidding me? You kidding me? Nah, never, never, never. I will never give in. I will never give up. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's where we got to get to in our understanding of God. Oh, it sucks. It's a bad thing, man. It's horrible. It's forever painful. But man, kids in heaven. We win. We win. You know. And listen. The disciples all got there. They all were martyred. Peter wouldn't even allow himself to be martyred on a regular cross. He said, turn it upside down. I don't deserve to die like Jesus. I will not dishonor him that way, you know, in his own mind, dishonoring him that way. Kill me a different way, man. That's too high for me. That's sold out. And you know, the cool thing about a lot of the people we deal with is that we know what sold out is. We've been sold out to stuff. To be sold out for God, it's the best. It's the best. It's the best. The future is the best. And you meet the best people. You meet the best people. So listen, baptism teaches us, and all that this process teaches is to live with purpose. I went from Joe, I wouldn't even make commitments in the morning for the evening because I didn't know if something better was going to come along. I was always willy-nilly with commitments. You know, whatever was, you know, hey. But now I've learned that commitment is solid. You know, commitment is everything. commitment to my wife, commitment to my mission, commitment to the Lord. Commitment is, that's where you gain. So it's, that's living with purpose. And this is a beautiful thing you can take from here right now, is just live with purpose in what God's already placed in your hands. Be purposeful in it. Do the right thing in it. Honor God in it. Stand strong in it. And watch what God does, and you will grow. And God's desire for us is to grow. It had nothing to do with being a child of God. So for you guys that are being baptized, why don't you go ahead and start getting ready, and we'll get the band out here. And then afterwards, we got lunch, fellowship time, hangout time. And because you know what? Part of being in the family of God, we need to have fun. So I know they got the jumpers for the kids, but a number of you guys are big kids. Just don't run the kids over in it. So let me pray for you. Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters. I pray your blessing upon them. Father, I pray for those right now that are struggling in the position they're in and what they're dealing with right now. I pray that you would help them break out of whatever it is their mind is telling them, that you will strengthen them, that they will do something different than what they've always done, and you will be with them. I pray for those being baptized, Lord God, that there will be an actual change in their inner being because of this step, and I thank you in advance for that. And I thank you, God, that we get to be in this place at this time on our journey at this, in this length of time. So God, be with your kids. Bless them this day. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. See you guys in a couple.
My sin was heavy. the chains break at the weight of your glory. I need a shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healer. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. Cause when you caught my head, I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Come on down, hey! You're up, Jay. All right, why don't you tell everybody your name and a little bit of...
My name is Jay, 46 years old, tattoo artist from L.A., and I have two little kids who are my life. And I came here about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and every time I come here, I feel better and better. And I used to come here with like really heavy shoulders, and I haven't felt that in like 5-6 months. Every time I come here, my life is just way better.
Yeah,
definitely.
Tattoo artist, huh?
Yeah, and I thought it's hitting out all the time.
We'll
yeah.
be talking later.
Too bad there's nobody here.
Definitely. Definitely.
We'll find a church for you.
I love this place.
All right, well, you've received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, right?
I have, yes.
All right. So because of that, we now baptize you in obedience to His Word. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I love the sun.
name's Jeff. I'm 61 years old. Most of my life I've lived on the wrong side, did some bad things, and when I accepted Christ into my life, I felt a lot better, and I just want to keep growing in Christ. And
so because of your profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit.
My name is Nicole. I'm 34 years old, and I've been getting closer to my faith in Jesus since I lost some people close to me a few years ago, and I've never been baptized, so.
Well, here you go. Okay. Because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you now take that step of obedience, and we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good job, Nicole.
I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
My name is Anthony Manella. I'm 40 years old. About 2 years ago, I suffered a debilitating back injury that left me crippled. And after multiple surgeries, I was told that they couldn't fix me. On January 14th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, God began to heal me, and every day has been a little bit better since. And so my faith in Christ has healed my body, and I'm grateful.
Amen. Amen. So because of your profession of faith, first of all, we want to pray that God continue to heal you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, that everything in your spine that is not aligned will be aligned, and all the nerve endings will be properly aligned. And so, God, we just pray that this great miracle you're doing in him will reach its fulfillment. And so because of your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name's Cameron. I'm 36 years old. I've been coming to his place for about 3 years now. I really came to know God through the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and recovery. And ever since I've led him in my life, I've been nothing but blessed. I have two beautiful boys. I have an amazing woman who's been by my side through a really hard journey. And I'm just so grateful to be here, and so grateful for this place. It has saved my life.
All right. Well, because of your faith, Cameron, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. go, buddy. We got a family here, Ansley's family, sister and nephews. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's almost warm. All right. Mom, you want to introduce everybody?
Hi, I'm Fagel. This is Elijah. This is Luca. And I'm already getting emotional because I'm just so excited for what God has prepared for our lives.
Amen. Okay. Hold on. Let me put this down. Then we'll try to get all of them. So we're going to baptize Mom and her two boys. And what an awesome thing. So, Lord, I just want to pray over them for a second. Lord, I just pray for this family. Lord, I thank you. You know everything about their journey as a family. You know everything about their individual journeys. I pray, God, that you will use them mightily in each of their generations, God, for good things. Bless them, Lord God. Take care of them. Guide them in every way they go. And, Lord God, keep your hand always strongly upon them. Give Mom great wisdom as her sons are entering teenage years and all that entails. So, Lord God, bless her with strength beyond her own capabilities. And so we thank you for this day. So because of their faith in Jesus Christ, we now baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
So this is Kelsey Kaelin, one of our amazing and beloved youth leaders. She is getting rebaptized today, which is really special for me because she is like an honorary daughter to me and little sister. So I'm going to give her the mic.
Hi. So I got baptized when I was a little kid, and a lot of my life has changed since then. I ran from the Lord. I tried to commit suicide. And from that day when the Lord saved my life, I feel like I've been living a whole new life. And I've been wanting to recommit that. And every single time this happens, I say, no, it's stupid. I don't need to get rebaptized. I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. But today is the day. And I'm just so grateful for this church, for the 4 years that this church has brought me through, my chosen family here, because my family couldn't be here. I'm so thankful for every single person here that's been with me along the way. So.
We baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Turn me around. bless you guys. Make sure to grab some lunch on the way out.